Today on episode number 364 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/364, we're going to learn some lessons about passion and content from Jerry Seinfeld, and we're going to be talking with Jim Cullison of The Average Guy TV about live, about Google Analytics, and about podcast evangelism and going anywhere your audience is.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. I'm thanking you so much for tuning in. I know you're busy. You've got the kids, you got the family, you got the job, you got all that stuff going on, and you've taken this time where we can sit down and talk about all things podcasting, from planning to recording to promoting to monetizing, all points in between. We talk about all things podcasting. And what I do is I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone to help eliminate all the jargon and all the craziness that's around podcasting, make it easy to understand, hopefully have a little fun. 4 out of 5 dentists do recommend the School of Podcasting for starting a podcast. And when I find that fifth dentist, man, are you and I going to have a chat, buddy. But if you'd like to join in on the conversation, that's my new thing. I like to grab old taglines from other the School of Podcasting. It's not just for breakfast anymore. If you want to join in on the conversation, my email is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228. You can use the SpeakPipe button. We're going to be using that in just a second as we hear another Because of My Podcast story. You can also leave a comment out at the blog, which is, of course, schoolofpodcasting.com. Everything I talk about today, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/364. And we are going to start off with a Because of My Podcast story. This is from Andy. And Andy is part of a group that is ultra top of the line masterminding marketing team, and they've started a podcast to promote their service. And wait till you hear this. I love this.
Hi everyone, this is Andy Drish, host of Starting from Nothing, and because of my podcast, the leads that we're generating for thefoundation.com have doubled since starting the podcast.
Okay, can we just pause a second? His leads have doubled. Okay, just wanted that to soak in.
Foundation.com have doubled since starting the podcast. Our community has a place to go on a weekly basis now to discuss really, really powerful content and strategies to build their online businesses.
That's right, building a community.
And for me personally, it gives me a really cool social equity tool to reach out to powerful influencers or thought leaders or entrepreneurs, people who I would never normally be able to get my foot in the door with. But now, because we have one of the top podcasts in iTunes, I'm able to reach out to them, and most of them will say yes to an interview because we've got that position in the iTunes store. And so I would highly recommend starting a podcast to anyone who's looking to start an online business or just wants to get connected with more influencers in their space.
Andy, thank you so much. If you haven't heard about the Foundation, go out to thefoundation.com, and they've got a great video out there. It's basically, it's a training company on how to start a lucrative software business. Even if you don't have any idea of what to build or how to write code, they excel at helping entrepreneurs start from nothing. Hence the name of their podcast, Starting from Nothing. So Andy, thank you so much for sharing that. And the reason I love it every time I hear one of those stories is, I mean, for 8 years, I've been saying, it's a great way to reach a global audience. It's a great way to better connect with your audience. It's a better way to train your customers. You're going to hear about that from Jim. In fact, speaking of Jim, coming up a little later in the show, we'll be hearing from Jim Cullison from The Average Guy TV, and listen to a snippet of what you'll be hearing.
Let me just say this. I think relationships are really important in what we do from a podcasting standpoint. You can never underestimate the power of a relationship. And so as you build these relationships with your audience, I always find engagement is higher when you're out there interacting with your audience.
Ooh, good stuff. Good stuff. And we're going to be talking about podcasting live. We've talked about that before. He's going to get his insights. We're going to talk about, he's doing a new strategy for building his audience And that is, it includes listing your podcast on a lot of these free websites. And he's going to completely pull back the curtain, share the numbers on what they're doing so you can decide if this is something you want to pursue. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Google Analytics, which is a free, who doesn't love free, a free tool that you can put into your website and get great insights into your audience, how long they're staying, what are your most popular pages, things like that. And you can get that information from, in some cases, your actual web hosting company, but Google makes them pretty, and they actually deliver more information than that. So if you're new to the show, you can hear the music coming in here. I do add transition music, so if you're listening to a segment, you're like, I'm just not into this segment, just fast forward till you hear the music, and that's when you know the next segment is about to start, like now. All right, first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been going to howtopodcast.com. I am very happy to say that my very first class that starts August 3rd is completely sold out. It's really hard to do when you have people saying, please let me in, I want to give you money, and I want to start this small, make sure it's right, and then open it up. So there is another class starting in September. If you go over to howtopodcast.com, this is my group coaching. Some people like going to theschoolofpodcasting.com, signing up for the self-paced tutorials and having me train you via email and via the tutorials. But some people wanted that personalized attention, but didn't want to pay the fee to have me train them one-on-one. So this is kind of a hybrid. I'm calling it group coaching, and that very first class sold out. And so we've already got the second one going. And in the process, I'm trying to make sure I have the right people in the class. And so I've had a couple people that have said they want to get into podcasting. Number one reason, I want to make money. And I kind of go, yeah, it's not really, who doesn't want to make money? But I always say you got to have a passion to talk about something for free, because when you first start, you're going to be free. I mean, we heard from John Dumas a couple weeks ago, the guy's making $18,000 a month with his podcast, but we also saw that he's working his butt off to do that. He spent a lot of money up front to get access to great guests and contacts and do things the right way, and it's paying off for him, but that didn't happen overnight. And so I just happened to stumble across some interviews of Jerry Seinfeld, and I want to play you just a couple of these here to show, because everybody's like, wow, Jerry Seinfeld, that guy has more money than God. It didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of work. So here is a clip. This is from the Howard Stern Show, and I got this off of YouTube.
I had been on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson for 9 years.
Was that a good experience?
Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
The best. Nobody at NBC, nobody, not one person, after 9 years of going on Carson 3 and 4 times a year and killing, nobody said, why don't we talk to this kid?
So 9 years. Now, number one, it took him 4 years to get on The Tonight Show. He was on there 9 years before they said, maybe we should give this guy a show. So that was, 4 years to get on The Tonight Show, 9 years on The Tonight Show. So 13 years to get his show. Then his show, we all remember it as this iconic thing. Not so much the case. Check this out.
When Seinfeld first came on and was the Seinfeld Chronicles, we all know it wasn't doing that well.
Didn't do well for 4 years.
Didn't do well. I can't even believe they kept it on the air, in a sense.
We had a very high income demo.
Right.
Horrible ratings, but the people we got were high income.
I think in this environment today, they wouldn't even keep Seinfeld.
Yeah, they would.
They would?
Same reason.
Right.
And you get rich people to watch your show, you're going to stay on.
Warren Littlefield.
The right demo will keep you alive.
That's right.
So there you go. The right demo will keep you alive. And that's one of the things you have to think about in some cases. If your goal is to make money with your podcast, does your audience have money? The first podcast that I created, I still do. It's called The Marketing Musician. And you know how they say starving artists, starving musicians, things like that? There's a reason for that. Those people got no money. You know, so you have to look at it in that aspect. But the other thing I want to point out, for 4 years, his audience hadn't found him yet. And so for the person that's like, look, I've been doing this for 6 months, and my audience is only, 250 people. Well, 250 people is a lot of people. 70 people is a lot of people, things like that. But you have to, it takes some time. So 4 years to get on The Tonight Show, 9 years to be on The Tonight Show. That's 13. And then 4 years of his show before it actually took off, that's 17 years. So it's amazing that way. And one of the things that I find amazing is there are some clips, and I'll put clips of these out in, or links to these out in the show notes, on how Jerry Seinfeld is just a master at creating comedy. He really thinks about every single word, every single syllable. I couldn't do that. I'm not doing that right now as I talk. I'm just talking to you like you're sitting across the table from me. But I want to point this out about passion. So listen to this clip. And these clips are not great. They're from a radio show, which was converted to a YouTube, which was now converted back to audio. But I think you get the gist. I think these are listenable.
And can you go to a Chinese restaurant and not sit there and work on material? Like, are you?
I'm never not working on material.
So
ever.
even when you're sitting with your wife, you're sitting with the kids, it's material. It's like it's
everything in every second of my existence. I'm thinking, could I do something with that?
Okay, so that's one of the things I want to point out here. Is, you know, when we talk about John Dumas and people that are making money with their podcast, it's not a build it and they will come. That, my friends, is a lie. Field of Dreams, it's this great movie. All the guys love it. It's a lie. If you build it, they have a place to come when you go and tell them about it, right? And that's a lot of work. You've got to build your audience. It's great. Now, what he's doing is he's sharpening his axe, right? He's making sure he's got the best content ever. So when people come to see him, there many, many podcasts have said, wow, this is the best comedian of all time. You know, sure, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, but they also say Jerry Seinfeld. You know, Jay Leno's another one. But these are guys that are constantly working. But here's the thing. It sounds like a horrible existence, right? Oh, my gosh, he's working all the time, not so fast.
Right. Yeah. I imagine you like that.
Yes.
And that to me sounds torturous. Like, oh, you cannot
why?
Let go. So if I came over to your house and we were hanging out, you're kind of really looking for material.
Now, did you hear Jerry? He's like, torture? Why?
Not kind of. I'm looking for material all the time.
That's being at work 24 hours a day. It's neurotic.
Making jokes is not work. It's a gift.
So there you go. To him, he's like, this isn't work. I love doing this. It's my passion. That is the kind of person you need to be to start a podcast. There's got to be something like, look, I just love to talk about whatever, my favorite sports team, my favorite hobby, my favorite movie, my favorite TV. Maybe I just want to talk about me. My favorite topic is me, and I think people can learn from me. By all means, get in front of a microphone, but just realize that it is going to take some time, and everybody is looking for that magic switch. What do I have to do to get 4,000 downloads? I want to have, I see advertisers now are looking for people who have at least 8,000 downloads, 20,000 downloads. How do I do that? And you do kind of what Jerry does. First of all, if you don't know why you're podcasting, you're never going to make it through the how. And one of the things we were going to talk about in my How to Podcast class, 6 weeks to podcasting, is we're going to spend a lot of time talking about planning, determining who your audience is. We have videos for this at the School of Podcasting, but you have to determine who your target is, why you want to podcast, and then figuring out who your audience is and giving them the content that's going to make them tell their friends. We're going to talk about that with Jim. You've got to get your audience talking about your podcast. And that's what you might want to be asking yourself. What can I give my audience that's going to make them go, man, you got to hear this guy. You got to hear this woman. She is phenomenal. She makes my head explode every time I listen to her show. Every time I watch their show, I go, wow. And then over time, your audience, just like Seinfeld, will find you. So, yes, he built it. They did come. It didn't happen overnight. So there are some lessons to be learned from Jerry Seinfeld, I feel, in regards to podcasting. Because I still run into the person that's like, hey, I'm on episode 4. How come sponsors aren't coming? And I'm like, because you don't have an audience yet. And if you definitely go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/364, there's a video that shows, now this is a little bit extreme in my book, how Jerry Seinfeld took 2 years to develop a bit about Pop-Tarts. I don't want you to take 2 years to figure out how you're going to podcast, because that is what I call paralysis by analysis. But again, it is interesting to see how he handcrafts like a master, you know, sculptor or painter or woodworking person, and he sculpts his jokes. It's amazing. It's inspiring in my book that I'm like, wow, that's cool. He is a master. And the one thing, another clip I'll put out there, it's a link to an HBO show called Talking Funny, and it had Ricky Gervais, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Louis C.K. So these are like guys top of their game, and they're all talking about jokes, how to write jokes, what is funny, what isn't funny, and because these are completely different guys. That's the other clip I want to play here is from Jerry about working clean. Check this out.
You are willing to work clean.
Yeah, and I won't. I beep out the swear words on the internet show.
You do?
Is that right?
Yeah, because people like to watch on their iPad, and there's kids around, they're having breakfast. I want them to feel comfortable watching it.
So think about that. I was like, man, that's great advice. Where do people listen to podcasts? A lot of people, it's in the car. And if you've got some podcast where it's just F this and C and S and all the other itty-bitty bad words, right? You may not want to listen to that with your kids. So now you're forcing your audience to seclude themselves so they can listen to your podcast. Now, I don't know about you. I've got three stepkids. And when those kids were here in the house, finding time alone, you're not always the easiest thing, because it's always like, hey, can I bug you for a second? Right? So he says he mutes the bad words if he's interviewing somebody like David Letterman, or he's got Michael Richardson and Sarah Silverman and things like that. He wants you to be able to sit at the breakfast table with your iPad, whatever, your iPhone, whatever you're doing, listen to the podcast. Wouldn't it be great to bond together as a family over your podcast? Now you and your kids can enjoy your favorite podcast. I thought that was a great marketing strategy, because you're only, if your goal is money, you are only shooting yourself in the foot by going blue, for lack of a better phrase. I'm going to cuss, I'm going to do this, and whatever. It's your podcast. You can do whatever you want. I'm just here to give you my information that I've seen, and I've talked to different people that sell podcast advertising. They're like, yeah, if you're going to be dropping F-bombs, I'm going to tell you right now, you just cut out about 80% of the sponsors that want to sponsor your show, because do you want to have your product tied to somebody who's just dropping F-bombs all the time? So I thought that was another great insight. This video I put out there about Talking Funny, it's an HBO show with those four comedians, and there's a joke. And to make a long story short, they're all kind of laughing about how bad the joke is. It's in poor taste. And then Seinfeld takes it and adds one little tweak to it. And what was a really horrible, poor taste joke just has everybody howling, myself included. And that's when I was like, man, this guy is a master of his craft. And that didn't happen overnight. And so the only way you're going to get better podcasting is to start a podcast. Start a podcast. You cannot improve something you're not doing, right? So that's the lessons we can learn from Jerry. You know, work hard, find your passion that you just want to talk about, that you go, what do you mean? This isn't work. I love talking about this. When somebody goes, you spend X amount of hours talking about such and such, it's like, it's not work to me. My advice would be keep it clean, but that's up to you. And just realize that if you can come up with content that's going to get your audience talking about you, they will eventually find you. All right, I've teased you a little bit with my conversation with Jim Cullison. We're going to talk about podcasting live. I like to talk to different podcasters. I met Jim. He was on the Podcasters Roundtable 1 week, and he started showing up on Saturday mornings at 11, and we've kind of gone that route. And so I just sat down and had a chat with him, and we talked about podcast evangelism. He's doing, he's trying some things here to grow his audience, and he's using some of these free sites, and he's going to peel back the curtain and let you decide, is this something that maybe you should be doing? And we're also going to talk about Google Analytics and how you can learn a little bit about your audience by implementing this free system from Google on your website. And I've got a tutorial for those of you at the School of Podcasting that shows you how to put Google Analytics on your website. And we're also going to talk a little bit about live. But Jim's a great guy. We kind of have similar backgrounds. We both grew up playing with CB radios. Breaker 19 there, buddy. Good buddy. He's a great guy. He also, like me, works full-time in addition to doing all of the fun-filled podcast stuff. You can find him over at theaverageguy.tv. And here's my talk with Jim. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
Great to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
And I guess the first thing we should do, let's plug away. Tell us about you, your podcast, you know, that whole nine yards.
The main site, theaverageguy.tv, that's the network that has just we really have three podcasts, but home tech, financial tech, and then a third one that we just do sporadically. We call it Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And just a bunch of guys getting together on a weekend and having fun, talking about anything we want. And then I'm a guest host over at the Home Server Show. So homeservershow.com. Dave and I do a weekly podcast around the Windows Home Server. There's lots of new stuff coming out with that, but we're still doing it. We've been doing it about 4 or 5 years, and that's our mainstay. Yeah.
My new favorite question is, why did you start podcasting?
But I love to meet new people. I love to communicate with people. I love to get online and just chat with folks. So when Google Hangouts went live and you could just kind of start inviting people, I had to really kind of not jump in there and just invite a bunch of random people to a hangout. But love talking, love chatting, love telling people what I know and helping people out. Podcasting is a great platform to help people. And, you know, I started my blog because I get a lot of computer questions from folks. How do I fix this? I mean, think about computers about 6 or 7 years ago. You know, it was Windows XP and viruses and everybody was having problems. And I was doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I thought, you know, if I write this down in a blog and I just say, when you have a problem, hey, go read my blog, right? Then I don't, time saver, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the jump. At one point, I thought, hey, wait a minute. I could just talk about this stuff and not have to write it. I'm not a great writer. I'm okay. Better communicator than I am a writer. And so started doing some podcasting as a really efficient way to kind of help people out. So the podcasts that we do are really designed around helping people. That's, you know, the giving them tech information.
Beautiful. Well, one of the things we've been talking about on my show is kind of the old, because of my podcast, you know, there are many different ways you can benefit from a podcast. Anything that you can think of that, hey, if I hadn't started a podcast, I wouldn't have been able to blank.
Yeah, for sure. And actually it just happened yesterday, which is kind of amazing. So the timing on this is fantastic. You know, I've been listening to you for the last 6 or 7 months and I knew this question was coming. And I always thought when you'd ask it and I'd hear other people talk about it, I just feel like, you know, I'm not sure I've gotten a chance to do, you know, maybe some traveling or some other things. You know, we do meetups with our tech podcast where we go to different parts of the country and other podcasters come around, and that's kind of fun. But from an employment standpoint, I just helped Gallup launch kind of the first, and I think what could be a gigantic podcast series for them. And I got a chance to do it because as they started working on this, I said, hey, look at the work I've done. Let me in on this. I would love to be able to help you guys. You know, the very first podcast they did with a conference call and they were using phones and the quality was terrible and there was no audio or no video at all. And you could hear the host muting and unmuting his line on the, you know, on the call. And I said, guys, in about 15 minutes, I can give you better audio and we can add video to it. And so we did our very first podcast kind of that in the new format yesterday. We were live. Dave, we had 50 live people in the chat. This is the first time we did it. 50
wow.
Live in chat, probably about 300 total live. I'm still waiting for those numbers to kind of come in on YouTube. But big deal. If you go to coaching.gallup.com, you can kind of see the work that we did around that podcast.
Yeah, because everything you do, like on theaverageguy.tv, you do all that live, right?
We do, yeah. And I know you're not a big fan of live. I listen to you live. And
it's painful.
I catch on Spreaker. You know, it's like 10 a.m. Central, I think, yeah. Is when you go live. And it's tough to go live. I've gotten around it by gathering a really good group of guys. I have about 14 guys I can rely on to sign up or you know, volunteer to come in and be kind of hosts with me. And it makes for a really nice live environment. We're live every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Central for Home Tech. We're live 7 p.m. Central for Home Server Show over at homeservershow.com. It's like anything. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And I don't think you can do live for live's sake. You know, in other words, don't go out there and think you're going to start a live show and you're going to get 500 people to show up to your live show. Because we started with 5, you know, or less. When we first started doing that. So for podcasters, it's a commitment. And I've heard you talk. You've got, if you're going to do it every week, you've got to be there every week to do it. You can't miss it, right? People are waiting on you once they rely on your podcast each week.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that you kind of chimed in when I was live is you had mentioned how you're kind of doing some cross promotion of your podcast by posting your episodes on some of these different free websites. So what are some of those that you're using?
I started this idea around podcast evangelism. We started with Podomatic. So when I first started podcasting 4 years ago or so, I needed a platform. I didn't have a WordPress blog site yet. I didn't know what to do. And so I came across Podomatic, so podomatic.com. And they're a nice all-in-one, publish it to iTunes, take care of things for you. They set up a site. They kind of track your stats. It's not bad. And at the time, it wasn't terribly expensive. And so I jumped on there. I paid a monthly fee. Went for about 9 months or so. The podcast grew. And that's when these services kind of get sideways on you, I think. If you're a podcaster and you've got a few shows and you're not super popular yet, I think it's affordable to do many of these. But once you start growing your audience, they get pretty expensive. And Podomatic got to about 30 or 40 or 50 bucks a month at that point. And I thought, okay, I'm not making any money off this podcast. I need to find another way. And so I've done what most podcasters do, is I went and got my own hosting and I built my own WordPress site and I got some help from other podcasters. But I was going to cut off the Podomatic feed completely, you know, and move over to, okay, I'm moving all the feeds over. And I did do that. But I noticed that I was still getting hits in my stats on Podomatic. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. I've told them for the last 4 to 8 weeks to move over, stop listening to me. But they kept listening. And I thought, okay, do I really want to shut down a platform for my listeners? That this is where they found me, right? And yes, it's going to take me an extra 15 minutes to upload the audio, create some show notes. When you post these show notes into these various services, you don't recreate the wheel. I mean, you've got all that stuff, some copy, paste, move in. So it makes the posting process very, very simple. So with Podomatic, it's probably a 10-minute upload to get the file uploaded, create the show notes, hit publish, and then I move away from it. And I'm still getting on Podomatic about 20 or 25 listens a week, which, again, not gigantic, but it's a great opportunity. Again, if that's where your listeners are, why would I move away if it's not? And it's their free service. I downgraded to their free service. I do have to keep deleting podcasts out, right? Because I get so much storage and so much bandwidth. Right now, I've not exceeded my free bandwidth to this point. I don't know what I'm going to do if I actually do. It was a great opportunity for me to continue to meet my listeners where they were at. So it all started with Podomatic.
Do you know off the top of your head, I know with a lot of those free services and things like that, there's no way to put in like if you had used the Podomatic feed to go into iTunes, is there any way to redirect iTunes from Podomatic to your own hosting?
Yeah, I had to do that when moving away from Podomatic, and I think I just notified iTunes that I needed to have my feed redirected. The redirection process wasn't hard to get it moved from Podomatic to FeedBurner. Eventually, I'll probably do that again to go from FeedBurner to like Blueberry.
So you actually worked with somebody from iTunes for that?
No, if you go into iTunes and you report a concern,
right,
you get a little dialog box. And then I said, hey, I actually, you know, I need to change the feed from blah, blah, blah to blah, blah, blah for this feed. And a couple days later, it was changed.
Now, did they make, because that makes me worried. Like, did they make you verify who you are?
Yeah, I had to log in with my ID, right?
That makes sense.
ID that I used to set up the original feed. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, what other websites are you using?
You know, when we first started going live, when we first started using video, we were Ustreamers. And Ustream got just nasty with ads. And so we moved over to Livestream and we discovered the Livestream chat is really, really good. And you can embed just the chat in your website. So on some of my sites that I use the YouTube audio or the YouTube video player, and then I'll embed Livestream right below and kind of mix the two together. But Livestream has a very rich environment, very rich audience base that's out there as well. Livestream doesn't even have really good stats in their free version. And I don't honestly worry about stats when we think about evangelism. The idea is just to get my podcast on as many platforms because you never know who's going to stumble across it. So we use Livestream. I use Livestream for that purpose as well. It was really handy the other day. A buddy of mine was running a marathon and I recorded the end of it. You know, they had a live stream coming in. And I used Livestream screen capture to record the end, zip that up, threw it, you know, it automatically encoded onto the Livestream site. And then I just sent them the link from Livestream. So that was really, really handy to have, you know, that account available. And Dave, it's another way if you're doing live video, we record using Hangouts On Air, and that's our primary. I also turn on the Livestream Procaster. And I put that Procaster window around my YouTube video for whatever reason. If the Google juice spills, right, so to speak, and that Livestream Procaster records locally. It's also going to the Livestream cloud, but it also records locally on my, I have a broadcast server that I use for that. You can never have enough backups, you know, yes, one of those kinds of things, right? So I have two video backups now as well, one Google doing and one Livestream doing.
Now, I've heard Livestream, is that the one that occasionally would throw ads in the middle of your live?
We haven't had problems with the middle with Livestream. They're certainly at the very beginning, and right, they're obnoxious. But I just warn the users, right, you know, it's coming. It's the nice thing about Google and Hangouts is that those ads aren't as obnoxious up front.
Very cool.
We another one, you got me hooked on Spreaker. So I heard that from you, and I thought, I wonder what the Spreaker thing is all about. And so I went and signed up an account for Spreaker and you get 20 free hours. You know, the stats on that one have actually been pretty good. And again, you know, none of them go gangbusters on these platforms. Right. But when I look at my stats on Spreaker, again, I've done no advertising out there for myself. Right. Just put them out there. Most of the podcasts get between 10 and 20 plays with me doing nothing. So again, not, you know, nothing to write home about when we talk about, you know, Jim, is it really worth 20? Well, I think you were interviewing someone and they said, you know, it took them 2 or 3 years to get their podcast rolling. And it just took a lot of hard work and reaching listeners one listener at a time.
That's it.
That's what I'm doing here, right? This is podcast evangelism, is reaching people where they're at.
One of the 20 could be, I once, as a musician, I played a gig to six people. And I believe that wasn't counting the barmaid and things like that.
the staff.
Right. But the one guy was having a birthday and he bought like 13 t-shirts and hired us. And, you know, so we played it like we're playing to the Jacobs Field in Cleveland,
right,
and gave it our all. And we were like, you know, we could have gotten completely, you know, just, oh, it's only six people, but you never know who one of those six is. So
we just did a home tech last night, home tech, the podcast. And I put it out late last night, maybe 11:30 or 12 on Spreaker. It's already gotten 4 plays. If you're interested in reaching one customer at a time, one listener at a time, I think these are, you know, these are things to consider. Right. Now, Dave, I do want to be controversial here because I know you hate this next one. But I'm a big advocate with Blog Talk Radio just for this purpose. They do have a fairly large audience, and someone said, well, how large can that be? Well, I started using Blog Talk Radio maybe about 3 months ago. I was wondering what's everybody, you know, how bad can it be? So I went out and listened and I thought, oh, this isn't too bad. The free version only allows you 30 minutes of upload. And so there is no upload feature on Blog Talk. So I actually have a server set up that has an audio jumper. So it listens to the speaker. So I play the audio and it plays into Blog Talk Radio. And if you have questions, I don't want to waste time covering how mechanically that works here. You can, you know, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and I can walk you through that one. But I basically fake out Blog Talk Radio because it makes you live broadcast. But I already did the podcast. I don't want to do that. So I play the podcast into it. And then I have a little clip at the end. When we get to 30 minutes, you know, I listen and it says, 90 seconds and then 60 seconds. And I play this little clip that says, if you'd like to hear, you know, more of this podcast, go over to theaverageguy.tv, you know, whatever. And I've gotten 815 listens from that in the last 3 months on Blog Talk Radio.
815 listens of how many podcasts? Oh, like, what are we talking, like an average?
Yeah. I would say the average is about 15 to 20 that are out there. Some of them have gotten zero. Others, I have one that's gotten 133 listens.
Yeah, see, that's, now we're talking. I mean, that's three classrooms of people.
Right. Yeah. I put a podcast out there back I guess it's been a little longer than 3 months now. This was late January, so maybe about 4 months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. And it's gotten 133 listens. And some of the podcasts around it, the other ones have gotten 80 and 65 and 45. You know, it's hard for me to deny those kinds of numbers. Audio is terrible.
Right.
Right? I get all that. I get it. This is not, and I don't care if I can't ever get my audio back, because this isn't not where I live. You know,
right.
I have my own site. I have my own hosting. I have all my own stuff. I control all my material. Just getting it out there so folks will listen. Then the last one that I use, and this is brand new, just in the last week, Audioboo. So these guys have been out a while now, 2007, 2008. I actually signed up for the service in 2009. That's audioboo.fm, AUDIOBOO.FM. I signed up for it back in 2009. Didn't really use them at all. Tried it one time. You know, it was this thing you could call in these 15-second like
right.
things, right? I'm like, this is dumb. Well, they contacted me via email 2 weeks ago and said, "Hey, we heard your podcast. We'd love for you to partner with us on this platform. We're really making a run at becoming a podcasting platform. Would you be willing to join us?" And they offered to feature me in some areas. They offered to expand my free minutes so that my podcast would fit in there. And again, I kind of checked it out and looked at it. I said, how could I say no?
Right.
And so we just set up a new channel over there at Audioboo. I've uploaded a couple podcasts, my most recent ones in there, and they've gotten already. I mean, the one I uploaded last night already has 2 plays. You know, again, not gigantic numbers, but those are the ones, the primary ones that I'm using right now in this, you know, evangelism concept to get the word out.
There you go. I know I've been playing with SoundCloud off and on.
Yeah, I tried that one too.
And again, the numbers there were like, okay. Oh, wow, we went into double digits.
Dave, it does make me think, you know, some of these platforms promote themselves. You know, we've got 1 million listeners, you know, and you kind of got to go, really? But at the same time, again, if I string all of those services together, that's 100 or so listeners that I'd like to convert over to my site. My numbers have been creeping up over the last couple months as I've been doing this. So I don't mind it. Maybe takes me a whole hour to get all of these services uploaded. I have kind of a pre-flight checklist for my podcast. So huge recommendation especially for new podcasters, if they're coming on, you know, they've been listening to you and they're like, okay, I'm getting ready to start a podcast. Create a document that as you add things, you kind of just create a procedural step for it. Because eventually, seems easy now, eventually though, you'll have multiple steps.
Yeah. And then that's when you start forgetting step 13. Yeah.
You know, write that stuff down or create a checklist, pre-flight checklist to make sure you remember all that stuff.
Well, one of the things you said that kind of helped you determine, you know, whether this was worth it or not was you said you got some stats from Google Analytics. So let's start off, I guess, for the person that goes, Google who? You know, there is a service. It's a free service. It's called Google Analytics. And you basically get a piece of code from Google. You throw it into your website. There are a number of plugins, mm-hmm. if you're using WordPress, that you can put them on. Now, what kind of stats, what kind of things are you learning from by using Google Analytics?
Yeah, so what I love best is the live real-time stats that are available. So if you ever want to kind of know what's going on during a show, and now for us, we're live all the time. So for me, it's fun to put that live page up. I have kind of a separate computer with a monitor over to the side. And when the show goes live, the stats light up, which is really kind of cool. And does it really mean anything? Well, I don't know, but it makes me feel good. So, you know, you're watching the numbers click up and change, and there's little circles. They have a little map there for you of the world, and little circles start popping up as people start coming in. One of the interesting things for me has been, even with the real-time stats, is to watch where in the world people are listening to my podcast at live. And it's like one of those things, I've heard you talk about this before, you know, knowing your audience and not being so U.S. centric all the mm-hmm. time. You know, we tend to be a little U.S. centric. I even caught myself on last Thursday night's podcast saying, well, next Thursday, it's the 4th of July. You know, it's like, oh, ouch. Nobody cares about that. And so I made some kind of joke how, you know, we celebrate how the United States threw off the ruthless shackles of Great Britain. and you know, we just kind of made light of it. But it does give me an idea, as I can see, okay, I'm probably, if I podcast at 8 p.m. Central, the UK and Germany are already asleep in those, right? I'm probably not going to get them, but sometimes I do. I watch the central part of the United States light up, so I know a lot of my listeners are here in the Midwest. And then I watch Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane light up down there as we get a lot of Australian listeners, because it's lunchtime for them. So they're jumping on at lunch, some very engaged listeners jumping on at lunch and joining us for the live show. So you can kind of get some geographical data from it, even in the real time. And of course, I can go back. There's stats that, you know, I can slice it and dice it by day and by month and stuff like that. So that's one of the areas I do. I think the other piece for me when I'm talking about Google Analytics, and there's so many, you and I talked about this via Skype after the fact, but there's so many different things you can get out of here, you know, traffic sources and content. It's that content tab that really matters to me. So I go to content and I go to site content and all pages, and I get this. Now I always look at the default view, which is the last 30 days in there. And it gives me some idea what's the most popular posts that I've had over the last 30 days. Just to give you a real specific example of how this kind of changed the way I did things. So I have a post that I wrote about blogging from Windows 8 using LiveWriter 2012. And it was when Windows 8 came out a year ago, all I did was sit down and just jot down what I was doing. I thought, oh, this will be good for the average guy. There's a lot of people who want to know, how does LiveWriter work with Windows 8? So I created a post in about 2 hours, posted it out. That's been one of my most popular posts over time. And I'm actually getting a lot of hits from Asia and China and some of those other sites where people are coming online with Windows 8 and they're typing in LiveWriters in Windows 8 and it comes to my site. I mean, I wrote that a year ago, and in the last 30 days, I've still gotten 340 hits on that in the last 30 days. Wow. So what did I change? Well, I opened the post back up and I kind of made sure it was still evergreen, right? So did I, because I have no problem editing my posts midstream. If I need to update something, I have no problems going back into old posts and updating them. It also did give me the opportunity to add a new affiliate code in there, because I thought, hey, if this thing's getting hit a lot, I probably should have some kind of affiliate code in there that is relevant and fresh and actually works, you know, because sometimes those affiliate codes go awry on you, or they just expire. And then what I did is I looked by, where am I getting hits on that, these 300 in the last month? What countries am I getting those from? And then I thought about, okay, what's my best affiliate link that it would be internationally? And so there's some real decision-making that you can make as a podcaster as you get access to all these stats and kind of understand the patterns that are happening on your site.
Very cool. And I know it shows you like total visits, but it also shows you unique visits, so you can figure out how many times people are coming back. And
yep, bounce rates, you know, all the typical things. We had talked about this a ways back, that the average time on a page, and I think you had mentioned that it was somebody with 12 minutes on a page.
Yeah.
And that's actually what spurred this conversation, I think, initially. Yeah. But my average time on page, you know, I get in a month about 4,300 page views. Just, I'm very transparent about my numbers. I know 4,300 hits page views with about 3,700 unique views. My average page time across that's about 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
See, and I remember that article said two was like average, and anything above that was good. And I was like, oh, cool. So there you go.
So I'm pretty encouraged. I was like, oh, cool. People are staying around. You know, one of the things you can watch on the live page is in real time, watch how long people stay. So they'll hit something, and I'll be like, okay, how long are they going to stay around? You know, it's sickening. It is a sickness, and it will suck you in and waste a lot of your time.
So if you're a stats junkie, stay away from Google Analytics.
Yeah, that's right. Set a timer.
Are there any Google Analytics that you kind of go into and you go, oh, okay, don't need that? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Audacity has tons and tons of features, as does Audition, as does Mixcraft. So there's always some things when people log in, much like a mixing board. There's always those things you're like, yeah, for podcasting, you just need this. You can kind of ignore this. Is there anything in Google Analytics that you kind of go, yeah, those are neat stats, but nah.
Yeah, there's some marketing stuff there that you can create campaigns with and track by campaign. I just don't have a need for that. If I was in retail and this was my job and I was trying to track what was successful and what wasn't down to the, you know, down to the nanobyte, I probably would. But for the average guy, that's a piece on Google Analytics I just don't spend a lot of time working on.
Gotcha. One of the things I wanted to talk about is when we were chatting, you know, a few weeks ago, you brought up a cool term of podcast evangelism, which I've been like, oh, okay, I'm going to be using that. So thank you.
Awesome.
What do you kind of mean by that?
Yeah, well, you know, I went to Bible college, right, for my degree. My degree's in Bible and humanities and an IT director, and I don't know how that happened. I was going to work in the church, and then I figured out my mouth got me into too much trouble. And so I thought maybe the church isn't the best for me. But IT was great, and it was about discovering my strengths and what I'm really good at. But that word evangelism, right, of course, this idea of taking the good, you know, the good news, so to speak, of podcasting out to the masses. You know, we do a great job of talking about podcasting in our tech communities. You know, we do a great job with talking to each other about that. I think we got to do a better job of educating the average guy on how to listen to podcasts. Because honestly, they're scared to death of podcasts. When I talk about this to my friends and I say the word podcast, they're like, oh, wait a minute. That's like hard. The nerds do that, right? You know, it's gotten a really kind of negative, weird vibe. Now it's starting to catch on because Adam Carolla and a bunch of, you know, more famous, popular comedians, they're all doing these podcasts. As tech podcasters or whatever you're podcasting about, we've got to jump on this wave of popular, you know, popular people doing podcasts and teach people how to listen on their phone or on their computer or whatever. I've even thought about doing seminars at the local junior college on a weekend that says how to listen to a podcast. And it would be a 1 hour come in and I'll teach you all the different ways to get it done. Cause I think we need to evangelize this idea first. How do you do it? Cause they'll never listen if they don't know how.
Right.
And then the idea of taking the message of our podcasts and saying, hey, and I, by the way, I've got all this great content. Now that you know how, I got all this great content that you can listen to.
There you go. Yeah, that would be probably step one. In some cases, what is a podcast? And then here's how you find them. And here's how you look. It's just easy. Click this button, click subscribe. You're done.
I know. But they're intimidated by it. They get these Android phones and they don't know. Again, there's a kind of a little negative undertone around it. And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, hey, did you know you can listen to radio content in your car off your Bluetooth and it'll automatically come to your phone and you can listen to it anywhere? And don't mention the word podcast.
Right.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, can you imagine you can listen to sports coverage and you can listen to independent sports coverage by guys that are passionate about insert your team name here? Really? Changes the equation. And I've said this before. I think the podcast, the area it does the best is in the super niche, it's an audience of 100 or less. Now we all want big podcast numbers, but where I think podcasting does well is in that area of the super niche because it doesn't cost anything to produce, and it doesn't penalize you for having a few listeners,
right?
You know.
Because it's not the what's the word? It's not the quantity; it's the quality.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't cost you any more to do or any less to do 100 as it does 10,000 or 100,000. It's the same. Well, okay, we can talk about hosting, and that's a little bit different. But the production costs are the same for the most part, whether you do it 100 or 100,000.
Well, and the thing that I kind of have seen in a couple different groups is I know there was a LinkedIn group that started off and it was basically podcasters kind of doing what we're doing here, just talking about different things and technology and stuff. And inevitably everybody starts, hey, episode number 38 of Binky and the Wiz is out. And then somebody goes, oh, I didn't know we could promote here. And then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? The Green Turtle Show is up. And then it just becomes this giant, my new episode is out, and it loses some of its value. And the other thing that when you brought this up, I'm like, yeah, we keep promoting ourselves to people who already know how to listen to a podcast.
Right.
Which I guess is part of the reason why people do that, because it's an easy sell. Yeah. But on the other hand, you're kind of like, but you're kind of ruining the group or whatever. So,
I'll be honest. I don't want podcasters listening to my podcast. So if you're a podcaster and you check out my site if you want, you're not my target. And if you stay, that's great. I don't want to discourage you from it. But you know, in home tech, we want to reach the average tech guy. You know, he's the tech support guy for his family. He's the guy who everybody goes to for questions. And I hope he's not listening to a podcast yet. That's, you know, I don't want to reach out. Dave, I'm not looking at stealing people away from you, right? I'm not interested in doing that. And as podcasters, we shouldn't. There's 350 million people here in the United States as it is. And I forget the latest stat, but we haven't reached them all yet.
No, not yet. Maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to talk to Ray or Daniel, one of those guys that are a little more into video, or even yourself, maybe. We should come up. I've got learntosubscribe.com. If we could get a really cool tutorial, yeah, just throw it on there.
I actually wrote an outline for it. So when at some point, you know, I've started this outline of all the different services that, you know, I think are key to helping people. And yeah, a 20-minute tutorial that you put on YouTube, that's because people, how do I listen to a podcast? We should have a video that helps them do that.
There you go. Because that is, it's time to stretch out from, we went from the geeks to the comedy, yeah, you know, consumers. And, you know, but it's time to get grandma and Aunt Myrtle involved and, you know, everybody else.
Well, and there's a whole group of millennials that aren't listening to podcasts that could be as well. Doesn't have to be old or young or whatever, but there's just a lot of people who don't listen. The cars are getting so good at this now, and the best time to listen to a podcast is while you're commuting.
Yep.
And so I just think we're coming up on a whole generation, you know, like with Stitcher, where it's going to be embedded in the cars, and we just need to be continually encouraging people to do it.
How do you discover new podcasts?
Primarily by listening to it has to be somebody I've heard in another podcast. So recently I started listening to My Website Engineer, and mm-hmm, I think I'd heard him maybe both on your show and maybe Ray, or I get them all mixed up because I, you know, it could have been on Daniel's show too.
Right.
But I started listening to him because I heard him on another show, but I don't typically go out and look for new podcasts. I just don't have enough time. I've got enough of them in the queue at the moment. So yeah, if I hear somebody really interesting, your show or Ray or some of the other ones that I listen to, I might jump over and listen to those guys.
Yeah, the last couple that I've discovered have been guests on other podcasts. So kind of the same thing. And I know there's a comedian. His name is, his name's going to escape me now.
That's all right.
But he was on a podcast, and I actually liked it because it's not a comedian interviewing other comedians, because I think that's been done at this point.
Yeah.
I will put a link. It's Jim something.
You know, while you're thinking, let me just say this. I think relationships are really important in what we do from a podcasting standpoint. You can never underestimate the power of a relationship. And so as you build these relationships with your audience, I always find engagement is higher when you're out there interacting with your audience. And so, you know, if you've got 50 and you're wanting more, work with the 50 that you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Start there. Don't stop trying to reach people you're not reaching yet. Work with the 50 you have, because you'll have a personal conversation with them. Maybe you spend a few minutes with them on Skype or something and take a few minutes of your time to talk to them. Guess what? You've made their day, and they're probably going to go, "Hey, have you heard?" They're going to, that's the Absolutely. Other idea of evangelism, right? Is this idea of exponential growth, Dave. You by yourself can only reach so many people. You need your listeners to reach people who reach mm-hmm. people. You need that explosive exponential growth if that's what you're looking for. And so it's really, really important, I think, that you take care of if you have 50, you better be taking care of the 50 that you have and not be looking so far ahead that you neglect them, because they'll just walk away.
Oh, absolutely. And if you take that little bit of extra time, The difference between good and great is not a huge, just giant canyon. It's a matter of replying to an email. It's a matter of, like you said, on occasion, it's like, hey, do you have a Skype? We could just easily knock this answer out in about 2 seconds, or I could type up 17 paragraphs. Can we get on Skype? And people are like, really? And it's always amazing. Mm-hmm. But exactly, you've then made that person, if we're going to stick with the evangelism theme, you've then made that person a disciple. Yeah. And they're going out saying, right, hey, I got to tell you about Binky and the Wiz. I got to talk to Binky, man. He's awesome. And then they tell two friends and they tell two friends.
Exactly. It's the power of exponential growth. You know, you can't do it yourself. You only know so many people. You have to get other people to refer, you know, and to talk about you.
Well, one of the things I do on this podcast to kind of give some ideas of people, here's something else you might want to listen to, is we do the old last five and five, and this is the what if you can remember. Now, if you want to cheat, look at your phone. But what were the last five podcasts you listened to? If you can tell me a little bit about it, and then, you know, maybe if you know where we can find it. If not, I'll just put those in the show notes.
But yeah.
And then do that in less than 5 minutes.
Okay. So here we go. And I'm not, this isn't exciting because I'm kind of a mainstream guy when it comes to this. And I don't listen to a lot of exotic podcasts, since some of them you guys mention here all the time as well. But, you know, one and two for me, Windows Weekly, This Week in Google, Laporte's, those are the ones I absolutely have to listen to keep kind of what's going on with Google and what's going on with Microsoft. As a Microsoft Windows Home Server MVP, it's really important to me that I keep on top of those things. So those two I listen to every week. Actually, Dave, you've moved up in the third. You're now my third go-to every week that I make sure that I listen to with School of Podcasting. So it's one of those things. At first, I'll be honest with you, when I first started listening to it, I was kind of like, man, who is this crazy guy? This is weird. I'm not sure, you know. And you've really grown on me over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
I'm like Moss.
But I look forward to what I like about it's genuine and it's authentic. And I like Monday mornings, I look forward to jumping in my car. This is why you can't ever miss a podcast on the weekend now. I look forward to jumping in my car and I put School Podcasting on. And I listen to that on the way to work and on the way home and I'm done. And I've learned a ton of stuff. Listening to, I love what you're trying to do with School of Podcasting. So that's my number three. My number four is I've gotten kind of hooked on Ray Ortega in the Podcaster Studio, although he is not as frequent. Ray, you got to get a little more frequent with your podcasts.
Ray has that lovely thing called Baby that has ruined many a podcast.
No, just crash and burn. love what Ray is doing. Yeah. And so I listen to his. And then one from our network that I listen to all the time is called BYOB or Build Your Own Box. It's available over at homeservershow.com. And a couple guys that I've been listening to, they're hardware nerds. And so they get deep into the hardware. My show handles all the consumer software that we talk about. You know, we talk about all the software, Microsoft and Google, all that stuff. But I didn't really have an outlet for hardware, and these guys are super big hardware nerds. And so I kind of, that's another show I listen to. And then lately I've been partnering with them on some other, you know, we did a virtualization show where we talked about software virtualization, and they partnered with me and we did a megasode, you know, where we got them together and me and we hammered it out in a partnership.
I've never heard that. I love that phrase.
It's a megasode. I wish I could take credit for it, but it actually Dave McCabe over at homeservershow.com came up with it, and we call it the megasode.
I love it. And again, we can find your stuff at theaverageguy.tv and then homeservershow.com.
Yeah, right on. And now the new coaching.gallup.com.
So that's right.
You're into strengths and learning your strengths and discovering your strengths and all that stuff that we do around strengths at Gallup. And you want to coach on that. This podcast is really designed for coaches who want to help people do all that with their strengths. So coaching.gallup.com, very brand new, you know, stage of that. If you want to give me some comments on that, you can check that out and let me know as well. We just got that going.
Very cool. Well, Jim Collison, thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah, it's been great to be here. It's good to sit down and spend some time with you, Dave. I always enjoy this.
Very cool.
There you go. My conversation with Jim. I want to thank him for sharing his idea of this strategy. You can look at that and go, do you have an extra hour to do this? I don't know that I would go through the hassle. It sounds like going for Blog Talk Radio. But, you know, if you've got the time, I always tell people you pay for things in one of two ways. You're either going to pay with time or with money. And so depending on what you've got more of, you know, sometimes these ideas are like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try that. Why? Because I can do this in my sleep. I can do it here or there. I can do it on my lunch, whatever. And if it brings in a few people, and I want to tell you a quick story here. As a guitar player, I played in a club once to six people. And we were like, ugh. But we still gave it everything we had. We were playing in a giant arena. And it turned out that one of those six people was having a birthday in a month that had a huge amount of people on it that bought a huge amount of t-shirts from us. So it was a very small venue. Well, actually it was a big venue. We just played to next to nobody, but you never know who's listening. So when you say, well, I've only got 13 downloads, you never know. One of those 13 might be the head of a meetup group that is filled with people who would love your content. So don't get discouraged when you see your numbers. Remember, those are people that are taking time out of their busy day to purposely listen to you. So that is going to do it. I want to thank Jim Collison for taking the time to share his insights on that. And again, everything we talk about today, you can find out at schoolofpodcasting.com/364. If you're looking to start a podcast and you want to kind of go at your own pace, by all means, come out, click on the Join Now button, and we've got step-by-step tutorials that'll walk you through the entire thing. Right now, I'm redoing my tutorial on Skype and how to record Skype calls. I'll be doing that tomorrow and posting that at the School of Podcasting. I mean, everything you need to learn how to podcast is going to be at that website. That's what we say. It's step-by-step tutorials. There's also resources if you need, you know, intro music, if you need voiceover, if you need graphics, if you're looking for a WordPress theme, things like that. It's all out there at the School of Podcasting. I do really, I got to tell you, since it's the end of the show here, I got to tell you just how blown away I am that when I put up that first class that it sold out so incredibly quickly. I was just like, wow, okay, this is awesome. And I'm just blown away and very honored that people are saying, hey, Dave, you are the guy I want to teach me how to podcast. And I'm glad you're offering this service. I like the tutorials. I want a little more personalized approach. I love the fact that in 6 weeks, I will have a podcast in iTunes. And if you're interested in that, the next class starts in September. You can go over to howtopodcast.com. If you don't have a website, again, send me an email with the phrase quick start in the subject line. And what I basically do is I send you a link to order your hosting. I earn a commission when you order your website hosting. And from that, I then give you a free month at the School of Podcasting, because you're going to have a website and you're like, I don't know how to manage it. Well, here, watch the tutorials for a month for free and learn how to do that, in addition to all the tutorials on podcasting. So what you end up doing is buying web hosting for like whatever, $9. And you get a free month at the School of Podcasting. Plus, I will set up your website and install all the plugins for you. So if you don't have a website, that's a great deal. And I'm always looking for ways where we can win, right? I'm going to win. I'm going to get that little bit of commission. You're going to win. You're going to have your website ready to go. All you have to do is provide the graphics and obviously the content. And you'll have the School of Podcasting to get you up and running. So that is it. That's my little plug here at the end. And I thank you so much for tuning in. In the future, I am going to be talking about things like media packets for podcasters. We're going to be talking about podcast statistics and how to approach sponsors. There are some new WordPress themes coming out that I'm really, really interested in seeing what they look like. So I'll be talking about that. I'm in the works of trying to get my hands on a Yamaha mixer. I don't even have the mixer number with me. It's a $99 mixer that has built-in compressors into the channels. It has insert jacks, so if you want to insert effects and compressors and things like that into it. And if I remember right, it has a place to insert 4 XLR inputs, so 4 microphone inputs. So if you're doing kind of a roundtable discussion live with people, that would work. So I'll be talking about that, and somehow I'm going to get my hands on one of those and actually review it. So that's what's coming up here in the future, along with your comments, along with your questions. That's the one thing that's kind of missing from today. Didn't really answer any questions from the audience, but we'll have those in next week's episode. In fact, there's no interviews next week. It's just going to be me and you sitting down talking some podcasting. So thank you so much for listening. And until next week, class is dismissed. And I hope to see you on the inside. Take care. God bless.